This is the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and the leading producer of quality fertilizer products. The podcast is intended to facilitate the transfer of knowledge for farmers and crop advisors, improving farm profitability and environmental sustainability. With Yara, knowledge grows.
Welcome to another edition of the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. My name is Scott Warr, and I'm with permanent crop manager Devin Clark today. And we're going to do a little something different. We're going to do a rerun of an episode, Devin. Why are we going to do that?
Because there was so much good and pertinent information in that previous episode that was focusing on post-harvest irrigation that is really important to be keenly aware of, regardless of the current drought or anything. It's really focused a lot on the physiology of why post-harvest irrigation is so important. And so there's a lot of great information to be able to kind of revisit again at this time.
You make a good point. This episode originally was recorded and aired back in 2018. And if you can remember 4 years ago, we weren't in as bad a drought. And in fact, if you look at the drought graph, it was actually a really good water year for us. We had plenty of water, mostly throughout the state. And so keep that in mind as you listen to this. We're talking with Peter DeBoer and Spencer Cooper, who is with the Almond Board of California. He has since left and has been replaced by Tom Duvall and his two cohorts, Michael Roots and Gary Castillo. They're the grower outreach team that you can always get a hold of. Devin, as you well know, back in 2018, you had not yet joined as a Yara teammate, and you've listened to this episode. You think there's a lot of information here. What other information should a listener of this episode know about post-harvest irrigation on almonds?
Yeah, no, great question, Scott. You know, as I listened to it, there was one element that I felt had not been addressed, although it was not necessarily prompted to be addressed either, though. And that is really the importance of post-harvest irrigation management as it pertains to carbohydrate production and storage. It's really important to recognize that from the point of crop maturity until almost leaf senescence, basically as long as those leaves are still on the tree and still are viable enough to conduct photosynthesis, we have this process of building and storing carbohydrates that takes place between now and that end of the season. And it's important to understand that this period of time is the only time throughout the course of the entire growing season that we are able to produce carbohydrates in excess of what the plant is demanding, and then subsequently store those for the coming bloom. And also, when you look through these carbohydrate graphs, there's actually a significant amount of degradation that takes place through the winter months also. And that's all the tree's energy that it needs to conduct its processes and ultimately create a valuable bloom for the next season that's going to set the crop that you're looking to get paid on.
So needless to say, post-harvest irrigation is extremely important. We know that water is limited out there. We know that it's expensive in some areas, but also extremely important for the development of the tree.
Yeah, no, it's one of the most important ones that I try to stress in anything post-harvest oriented discussions. And, you know, we can expand on that further in conversations with others. But, you know, it's the only point in time we have in the entire season to build carbohydrates in excess of what the tree is demanding. We're always operating at a deficit. And so you have to capitalize on this window to be able to get the energy required for next year.
That's great. I love it. Without further ado, let's get into that episode.
With Yara, knowledge grows.
Thanks for joining another edition of the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. My name is Scott Warren. I'm the digital farming manager here at Yara North America. And I'm sitting across the table from Peter DeBoer, who is a sales agronomist here in the Central Valley of California, right in the heart of agriculture here in North America. And he was on an earlier podcast with us where we talked about nutrition, post-harvest nutrition on almonds, My Almonds, which is the crop solution brand. And he's going to join us here again today. And we also have Spencer Cooper with the California Almond Board. He is, and I have to look at his title because it's changed,
He is the senior manager of field outreach and education. What does that mean, Spencer? What is field outreach?
So, thanks, first of all, for having me here today, Scott and Peter. So what's field outreach and education mean? In the easy terms, layman's terms, it means reaching out to the growers and help educating them on best management practices, irrigation, harvest, plant nutrition, all things related to farming that we deal with Ammons and with the markets.
You know, that brings up a very good point. You just said Ammons, and I prefer to say almonds because I'm a layman. We are sitting in Modesto at the California Almond Board offices in Modesto, California. And in Modesto, do we call them almonds or do we call them Ammons?
Well, it's a coin flip, Scott. It could be Ammons, it could be almonds. But I'll leave you with this question.
Yeah.
What's the fish that migrates up from the ocean to the rivers every year?
It's a salmon.
Yep. It's a salmon. Yep. So think about that it's next time you...
Peter, what do you say? What is your knee-jerk pronunciation of this valuable fruit?
It's almonds for sure.
It's almonds?
Yeah. No. But we don't discriminate when people call it almonds.
And I have to give this caveat. So it used to be almonds for me, but I've been reformed.
Oh, okay. You're a reformed farmer.
In the last 6 years of working in the industry, they reformed me and changed me to almonds.
It's an interesting conundrum here in California, which almonds is, or almonds are, the most valuable agriculture export in California, I believe. It's, I think, the second most farmed acreage crop in California, would you say?
It may be number one now.
Okay.
It was between that and alfalfa. Right now, there's a little over 1.3 million acres planted.
Okay.
In California, a little over a million bearing acres.
So it may have pushed over alfalfa. I think alfalfa was sub 1 million, I believe.
Yeah, so it may have changed.
So it's an important crop to California.
Very, very important crop to California.
Let's talk about the California Almond Board. It's a nonprofit organization that does what?
So the Almond Board of California is a federal marketing order. So it was enacted back in 1950. So what does that mean? What is a federal marketing order? Our job as a board is to help develop markets for the almond industry. So we don't track pricing, we don't set pricing, we don't lobby, we just do market expansion. It's a major part of what we do. We also do a lot of research, production research, nutrition research. So all of these findings and research that's applied through the growing community, a lot of it's funded through growers' assessment. So yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Haha, nutshell. Nice one. So,
yeah. There's a lot of stuff that we do that growers maybe don't understand that happens behind the scenes on regulatory issues, looking at MRLs for pesticide use, and just a lot of interesting things that we don't necessarily see on the growing side, a lot of things that happen past the farm gate. So from the farm gate to the consumer's table. So that's a lot of what we do.
Okay. Well, today we're going to talk specifically where we are now about halfway through the harvest season, would you say? Maybe a little bit further. Our first podcast was on the post-harvest nutrition. And today we're going to talk about post-harvest irrigation. Spencer has a background in irrigation and soil moisture monitoring and that sort of stuff. And so we're going to talk about irrigation. As farmers are finishing their harvest, do they shut the irrigation off? Should they shut the irrigation off? Should we be deficit irrigating because there's really nothing that's growing on the tree?
You know, Scott, that's a good question. I feel like sometimes that's what happens. And that's definitely what we do not want to do this time of year. I know last podcast you guys talked about nutrition. And the number one nutrient that we apply is water. And sometimes we forget about that. The water is the key to life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this time of year from about mid-July until October, November, depending on your varieties, you're going through bud differentiation. So you're really starting to set next year's crop. So if you stress a tree this time of year, you're impacting next year. And so, you know, this time after harvest, depending on your varieties, you should be getting anywhere between 9 and 12 more inches of water put on until the end of the season. So you're stepping on it, pouring the coals to it, really trying to get that water back.
Peter, what are we at risk if like Spencer says, we're supposed to be putting on between 9 and 12 inches of water. What are we at risk of if we put half that on? If somebody is going to deficit irrigate, what's at risk?
There could be devastating impacts to next year's crop if you don't adequately water your crop this year. Like Spencer said, bud differentiation, which is basically where the bud is deciding, am I going to be a leaf or am I going to be a flower, is happening during this period. The tree is trying to finish off those buds so that next year they're as healthy and as strong as possible. So if you want to see a tree that wakes up in the spring and is vibrant and you see explosive growth and a really healthy crop set, putting on water this time of the year is probably the most important thing that a grower can do and do correctly.
So one of the things I want to stress, Scott, on that is it's not just going back and turning the water on. You know, we've come through, we've shaked, we've sweeped, we've picked up, we've ran a lot of equipment through the orchard. If you've got a micro irrigation system or a drip system, it's not uncommon for those lines to get grabbed, for, you know, just some mechanical issues to happen. And I think it's really important that we take some time to go through that first irrigation after we pick up our nuts and really make sure that system's working properly. Because, you know, the last thing we want to do is turn on that system and not get out what we think we're getting out. So this is a great time to also check to make sure that system's working well. So whatever you're putting out, whether it be your post-harvest nutrition plan or just some post-harvest irrigation, that you are getting the most out of that application.
You know, you made a good point there with, you know, as we're going into harvest, the trees are going through quite a bit of stress, right? You know, how far before the shake do they turn off irrigation or start reducing the irrigation? Because they got to cut that off so they can get the machinery in there and not cause any problems.
Yeah, and I think it depends on your soil types, depending on your varieties, depending on, there's a lot of management things that go into it. And you mentioned earlier about deficit irrigation. That's something that's pretty common to be doing pre-harvest, is to do a strategic deficit irrigation. And so growers can use plant-based monitoring to help try to dial in that irrigation intervals and to make sure they're putting the appropriate amount of stress on that tree to time that harvest to get a nice clean shake. Because you get a clean shake, you can come in, you can get those nuts sweeped, you can get them picked up, you can get those nuts out of the orchard and get water back on as quickly as possible. Some growers are able to get water on within 24 hours based on how their system's designed. And so we do not want to stress the trees this time of year.
Yeah,
after those nuts are off.
So go the whole harvest thing, and my point was the whole harvest, the pre-harvest and harvest, you're putting these trees into a lot of stress. And so if you forget about the tree after, here the tree is extremely stressed. And if you're setting yourself up for the next year's crop, the best thing you can do is, like on the last podcast, we said, put 20% of your annual nitrogen down after harvest. And then don't forget to use the other nutrition that you brought up, Spencer, which is irrigation. How does irrigation and the nitrogen application, how does that work together to make the tree happy again?
Well, nutrient use efficiency is something that we're really big on in California. We don't want to be over applying, especially nitrogen. We really don't want to be over applying any type of nutrient to these trees. It's important for growers to manage their budget. And part of that is making sure that every dollar that's spent is spent well. Basically, with plant nutrition, if you don't have water to move those nutrients around inside that tree, it doesn't really matter what you do nutrient wise. This is the most important aspect. You know, irrigation is the most important aspect of farming, and having proper irrigation practices where you're putting on the right amount of water at the right time can cover over a lot of other things that may in other situations cause farmers trouble. And nailing this, like this time of the year, like you said, Scott, these trees have been stressed out all year long. They've carried a large crop all the way along. At the same time, they're trying to grow. They're developing the crop. Now the crop comes off. And even though the farmers can't go on vacation yet, what we want to try to do is send the trees on vacation, take away everything that they have to worry about. and focus that energy that they have on finishing off those buds and going to bed happy for the winter.
So you want to send the almond trees to Hawaii is what you're telling me. You want to put them in the nice sun.
We like to keep them here in California.
A margarita. You know, just making them extremely happy and relaxed so that they're producing and preparing very well for the work they have coming up next spring and next summer.
Yeah, I'm going to steal probably one of Peter's notes he wrote on here. This little trifecta he's got here, one of them is management on this table. When we think of irrigation, it's one thing we can control. When we think of farming, there's a lot of things that are out of our control. You know, markets may be out of our control. You know, winter rains are out of our control. But irrigation, it's an engineered system, which gives us the control. So it's important that we take that control, that we implement the control that we have to maximize it. One of the things I like to look at in irrigation is it's not just water management, but it's oxygen management. Mm-hmm. So really trying to manage that profile. That aspect to get healthy root systems that can help take up nutrients quickly into the plant.
How much during the harvest season do you deplete the soil moisture profile? Does it get pretty bone dry, and is it quite a whole lot of work with the frequency and the duration to get that moisture profile completely filled back up, or how much are we drying down in the harvest season?
You know, that's a really good question. It depends on the growers, depends okay. on soil types. If you're in a Delhi sand or sandy loam, you can dry down fairly quickly and you can refill that fairly quickly. You're in some of the heavier soils and higher clay contents, it can take a long time to dry down. That's why we really encourage using pressure bombs through that deficit irrigation going into harvest and then also coming out and seeing where you're at on the other side. Because some growers, they shut their water off 3-4 weeks before harvest in order to try to get that tree to dry down. There's a lot of stored moisture down deep. There's a lot that we don't know on root dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really amazing, you start looking at some of the research on what rooting systems can do. And so I hate the phrase, it depends, but it really depends, yeah. Which makes it really important to use sensors and technologies and pressure chambers.
Know your field.
Know the tools that you have. I know last time you guys talked about tissue sampling mm-hmm. and hole analysis. Use all of those analysis. Use them all.
Yeah.
To make the best educated decisions.
You know, Peter, I was just out in an almond field. No, I was in Modesto or up in Oakdale.
Yeah, you were in
I was in an Ammon field. And they had gone through, for those of you who don't know how almonds are grown, they do different varieties. Every other row, they do a different variety. So they had gone through and they shook the nonpareils. Is that correct,
correct.
Spencer? So the nonpareils had been shaken, winrowed, collected. They're out of the field. But the pollinator variety is still on the tree, but yet they had gone and started the irrigation. They were irrigating with every other row still yet to be harvested. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that whole dynamic with the irrigation? Why are they irrigating in between those harvests?
Sure. So I would call it a conventional orchard. Oftentimes you'll have 50% of the field will be nonpareil. That's typically the highest dollar for dollar. That's going to get you the most bang for each pound of almonds, I guess.
And those are the earlier harvested ones.
That's an earlier harvest one. And you can look at bloom time and see the variation. When you're driving down the road, you can see one row will be in full bloom. One row may not be totally out yet. And mm-hmm. that tells you there's different varieties. And oftentimes there will be 3 to 4 weeks variation in terms of maturity between a nonpareil and whatever pollinator the farmer has in the field. And that's, frankly, that's really good orchard management to get the nonpareils out of the field and immediately turn the water back on, because you have instantly gone into stress reduction mode mm-hmm. for that nonpareil. Whereas if you wait another 3 weeks until his pollinator is picked up, the nonpareil is probably going to look like it's the middle of December. You're not going to have any leaves left.
Yeah, they're going to all fall off. Aren't
they? So that's very good orchard management. It's very, very difficult because you are trying to time out. I need to get equipment back in the field. I want to make sure I don't tear up the field. So it's a very, very difficult dance, but it's one that's really, really important.
Okay. Spencer, you've been working for the California Almond Board for a few years now and going around and outreaching to the field and doing some irrigation training and education. What is probably one or two of the most misunderstood irrigation topics when it comes to irrigating almonds?
I think one of the two biggest things, and comes back to that management that we said earlier, is we've converted the industry over the last those 30 years to this micro drip, either micro irrigation or drip system. Mm-hmm. And understanding how to use that properly. You know, we've really evolved the technologies and truly understanding the concept of evapotranspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about it all the time and we go, oh, ET, ET, ET. And sometimes we don't take the time to explain, well, how do I apply this information? And so I think that's the main one that I spend a lot of time with growers is just we do a good job of getting really close without even realizing it. And so really spending the time to go back and explain how we got to a certain way. You know, we get this report from our farm advisors that says, put on 2.5 inches of water this week. Okay, so where did that come from? Why am I putting on 2.5 inches of water? But it doesn't tell you how to put on that 2.5 inches of water. So spend a lot of time with growers explaining, you know, yes, it needs so much, but it's the equivalency to me saying that we need to drink 6 8-ounce glasses of water a day, but you have to drink it all at once.
Right.
Or you get to drink 6 8-ounce glasses of water. And that's where you have to look at your soils and to see how that's going to hold that water.
And to know how much, you know, we're irrigating by time, not inches. So we've been told we need to put on, you know, 2 inches of water. What does that mean? How much time do I need to run my irrigation system?
That's about 50,000 gallons of water.
Yeah.
So
you have to be able to do the math and say, okay, 2 inches means I need to run my irrigation for, let's say, 28 hours. But to your point, do I run it for 28 hours all at once? Or do I split that up into 2 irrigation cycles? Or do I split it up into 4 irrigation cycles? What is the most effective use of that?
And another common question that we get is, how many gallons of water do I need per tree? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we may figure out, oh, I need to put on 50 gallons of water per tree per day. But how does that equal inches? Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of these back calculations. So I spend a lot of time working with growers, and that's why we developed the irrigation continuum and these handouts on our website to help make those calculations easier. And the other thing is back to this irrigation efficiency and irrigation system maintenance and making sure that that system is working the way. So it's really fundamental stuff. It's nothing fancy. It's not a lot of sensors. It's not, you know, this 2050 type, you know, 22nd century stuff. It's really getting this fundamental stuff so that everything else works 10x better.
Right. Yeah, growers are really familiar with the first irrigation of the year is always a pain because you're going through, you're making repairs, you're fixing all the stuff that broke or that critters chewed off during the wintertime. But in my opinion, I used to advise growers, and I still do, that you need to treat this first irrigation after harvest just like the first one you make in the year. And it doesn't matter that your system has only sat maybe unused for 3 weeks. It could be as messed up as it'll ever be during the course of a year. And it's so important to nail this aspect of farming that it's a worthwhile time investment for a farmer, even though they're tired and they're ready to go on vacation. it's time well spent.
Yeah.
I think one way to look at that, Scott, is, you know, we run a calendar year, uh-huh. January to December. And in reality, farming is like a fiscal year. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really a September to August type calendar. So right now we've started 2019. We're finishing up 2018 and we're having the new year celebration of 2019. So it's really kind of think we started our irrigation season technically starts right now. And we have a break for the winter months and then we start again in March. So kind of another way to think about it.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good paradigm to think of. So let's farm the almonds on a fiscal year and go that route. I like that. That's good.
Hey, Scott, I wanted to mention something too. Spencer was talking a little bit earlier. We may get into this later about the pressure bomb technique for measuring actual plant stress.
Yeah.
And Spencer's mentioned this before too, and hopefully I'm not stealing his thunder, but
steal away.
I already stole yours.
That's right. Yeah. No, but oftentimes irrigation is a very emotional decision. And this is something I think that Spencer has really honed in on and is of a lot of value to growers to think about. And when you go out and you look at a plant, whether it's in your yard or in your orchard, you think, man, that thing looks dry. I think it needs some water. Well, we have the tools and technology to actually find out how much stress is this plant actually under? Because oftentimes over-irrigating is a bigger problem than under-irrigation. You don't really want to do either, but the technology is here. And that's one thing the California Almond Board has done a great job of is promoting the use of the technologies that we have available so that farmers can fine-tune, you know, this huge portion of their farm management to get the maximum efficiency out of their irrigation operation.
That's a really good point. You know, one of the things that I wanted to touch on is, you know, we've been lucky to come out of this, what was it, 5-6 year drought. We're 2 years out of it now. Is that right? You know, during that 5-year drought, farmers were limited to the amount of water they had available to irrigate their almonds. How could a farmer utilize that finite resource that wasn't enough to irrigate the way they needed to or wanted to and still keep the trees alive and producing, I don't know, a minimal crop? How did that work out? What did we learn from that?
We learned that the trees are very, very resilient. You know, we've had a great adoption of micro irrigation systems, and that's been a big thing that our industry has done. You know, over 80% of our industry is using micro irrigation. So we're adopting new technologies. We're innovating as we go through. What we've been able to do is through grower-funded research, through the UC, through the extension agencies, we've been able to look at when is the most critical time. If I've only got X amount of water, how do I best use that X amount of water?
Right.
And that's how we come back to this. Right now is not the time to skimp. And we knew that, okay, in the springtime, we often irrigate earlier than we may need to. And so we use tools like the pressure bomb to see exactly how far can I push before I've got to turn on my water. And so that's really how we've done it and we'll continue to do it. We know that we're in California. We know we need to be as responsible with those resources as possible. Who knows what water law will bring us in California, water availability. But we know that we've got to grow a crop and we've got to grow a healthy crop and we've got to grow a responsible crop. And so by using those types of tools, I think that's really how we made it through the last drought. And that's how we're going to make it through the wet years and the dry years to come, is using the technology, using the tools, using the trusted advisors, just using every resource that's available to you. There's tons of resources for everything that growers have. And I think that's what gets us through those times.
I think it's amazing how resilient these plants are. You know, I had heard from someone, one of our agronomists here at Yara, that said that for almonds specifically, stuff that you do today isn't going to necessarily have an impact for 2 or 3 years. Have we already seen the effects of that 5-year drought play through? Are we finally out of that effect that it's having on the trees?
Well, I think we got that's a,
everybody's laughing and looking at each other with smiles on their face. So I'm thinking that maybe that there's not is this a depends answer?
Well, so we had a great coming out of the drought. Uh-huh. We came out of the drought like a racehorse. Yeah. Like we went from the driest 5 years in history to the wettest winter in history.
Yeah.
And so Peter said earlier, too much water can be detrimental just as much as not enough water. So we had a really hard winter first year out of the drought. But the trees that responded, that didn't get submerged and underwater, responded well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just yin and yang.
I think you do see a cumulative effect that stress on plants can play. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that a tree that goes into dormancy stressed comes out the next year displaying some of the symptoms of that stress. Mm-hmm. I think it would be fair to say that the same thing can happen over the course of time if you have consistent conditions that promote excess plant stress. Like Spencer said earlier, these trees are amazing. They are so tough and so resilient that they can survive on next to no water at all. And then within 2 years, they can bounce back and be productive and economically viable to farm once again. And it's pretty amazing. I think the take home is really that minimizing plant stress, especially at this time of the year, mm-hmm. Is a critical aspect of setting up your crop for next year to be the best it can be, regardless of what the water situation is like in the next year.
So when do you turn off the water? Right now, you need to be irrigating. Do you wait until the rains come? So in California, we typically don't get a whole lot of rain during the summer. But when the fall hits, that's when we get our rain and it's things start filling the profile. When do we stop? When the rains come?
When
or the leaves fall off?
When the textbook answer is when rains meet plant ET demands.
Okay.
So in the South, guys may irrigate when they only get 3 inches of water, they may have to irrigate, or 3 inches of rain, they may have to irrigate winter irrigate year round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the North, you may stop irrigating in November. But it really depends regionally. You know, we look in the North, we can get up to 24 inches of rain. And we've got 500 miles of almonds from the North to the South. So it's really matching that tree demand, ET, with rainfall. So it's a way to look at it. I know you're probably going to mention this, but I'm going to do a shameless plug earlier.
Yeah,
As we talk about these types of topics and we talk about this information, our conference.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a great place to hear this.
It's coming up. This is 2018. It's coming up on the December 4th through the
4th through 6th. The 6th. Yep.
In Sacramento?
In Sacramento. So
how can someone find out more information about that and get tickets? Do you have to buy
it's free.
It's free?
It's free.
No way.
Yes, it's free to growers. Wow. It's free to everybody, actually.
Okay.
So they can pre-register. And they can come on almonds.com and find the conference pre-registration.
What happens at the conference? Why should an almond grower decide to drive north to Sacramento and attend the conference?
Well, there's a lot of options out there for
you. Get to meet me.
You can come.
Peter's going to be there.
So
will you be there, Spencer?
I will be there.
Okay. Well, there's two good reasons.
So there's two. So I'm going to give a shameless plug for a couple.
Okay.
One day we'll be having a session on irrigation technology and the successful implementation and the not so successful implementation and kind of what the future holds.
Uh huh.
And then there's a trader show floor that's got 500 some odd vendors.
Yep.
So anybody from people like Yara with plant nutrition to your Exact, Flory, your OMC, all your equipment manufacturers, they're all going to be there. So it's just a great opportunity on that aspect to run into those reps that you need to ask questions or see what's coming out on out into the market, mm-hmm. as well as all the research. So we fund, you as growers fund about $8 million worth of research a year. And so all those research projects are those researchers are giving updates. They're talking about it. Mm-hmm. They're showing what we're talking about today, how it came into the plots and the trials and what they've learned. So market updates, there's all kinds of lots of action packed stuff for 2.5 days. So,
okay.
That was my shameless plug. I know.
Can I shamelessly plug something too?
Sure. Why not?
It's the shameless plug podcast.
Yeah. As long as we're shamelessly plugging things. If you are an almond grower in California, you owe a huge debt of gratitude to the California Almond Board.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, what growers see is they see an assessment that they pay on the number of pounds they deliver, you know, to the market. What they don't see necessarily is the activities that the Almond Board takes to promote California almonds. We are the preeminent almond producer in the world. There are other areas that grow them. Nobody grows them like we do. Nobody sells them like we do.
Uh-huh.
And the Almond Board has been the most critical, I guess the most critical component to seeing our yields increase astronomically here. I think we're going to be at over 2.25 billion pounds of almonds this year.
2.45 is the estimate.
Yet growers are still seeing prices that enable them to make good money farming. That's really not been replicated by any other industry in farming. I don't know anywhere that you can see the yields grow, but the price maintained to where farmers are still coming out, you know, doing pretty well for themselves. So when you see that assessment, they're doing some invaluable work that growers don't have the time to do, that smaller handlers don't have the time to do. And I think we owe them a lot of gratitude for what they're doing.
I think you're right. That wasn't a shameless plug for you. That was
my family. We grow almonds, and yeah. I know that you know. Again, it's not something we necessarily see. The growers see and tangibly can touch and say, "Yeah, that's what I'm getting." But what you're getting is a worldwide developed market where demand for California almonds is robust, and you're seeing prices that reflect the premium that people are willing to pay for our product.
And Scott, I just want to mention earlier, I mentioned the 8 to 12 inches post harvest. That work was done by Goldhammer and Rice, the couple of researchers.
Dr. Goldhammer.
Yep. So I just want to give credit where credit is due on that research.
He is not a James Bond villain.
And so, a lot of this work and information has also been compiled by the Almond Doctor, David Dahl, and some of the other farm advisors at Sac Valley Orchards Farm Advisory Community.
Yeah.
So just want to make sure that's where your research is being done as growers. I think it's important they understand that there's a lot of stuff that's happening behind the scenes for it.
So we've been given kudos to the California Almond Board. Spencer, if someone isn't sure or of what that assessment is and what it's going towards, or if they're trying to find help to be more efficient in their almond growing, how can they get in touch with the Almond Board?
So there's few different ways, Scott. They can either reach out directly to me via email at scooper, COOPER, at almondboard.com and shoot me an email. And if you have questions that way, we can sit down, we can come out to your orchard, do a free orchard assessment. This is something growers pay for. It's free to them. They have the irrigation calculator. They have the nitrogen calculator. They have the almond sustainability program. They have myself. So if you're wanting an in-orchard consultation, that's a great way to reach out via email to me, or you can call me, but email is probably the best way, and then we can set up a phone dialogue. If you're just interested in what the Almond Board is doing market wise just where your assessment dollars are, you can go to almonds.com, almon.com.
Almond.com?
No, almonds.
Okay, so there's an S on there.
I thought it was almonds.com.
No, we're going to have to edit this definitely now.
is it almonds.com or is it almonds.com?
I have to say almonds.com.
There's an L in it.
There's definitely an L in it. So it's almonds.com.
Okay.
So they can find what they need there and look. And if there's any questions, there's a little button on the bottom of the page that says contact us.
Okay.
So that's probably the best way, I think, to really see what's going on. And please don't hesitate to send an email. Like I said, scooper, SCOOPER, at almondboard.com.
And we're sitting here in October. You still have 2 months to register for the Almond Conference up in Sacramento on December 4th through the 6th.
Yeah.
Peter, if someone wants to learn more about the crop solution brand, My Almonds, where can they go?
www.yara.us. Mm-hmm. That'll connect you to Yara's North American, United States specifically webpage. Mm-hmm. Or go to your search engine of choice, type in Yara My Almonds, and it should be the first thing that pops up there.
There's a lot of good articles, good newsletters. You can subscribe to the My Almonds newsletter there.
Yep.
And be notified of some of the research that Yara is doing on the nutrition side there also, right?
Or if you have nutrient questions or issues that are going on, you can reach out to one of us through that webpage also. And we're free to growers as well.
Perfect. All right. Well, I want to repeat some of the gold nuggets. This is not the time to stress your plant. We want to minimize the stress. We want to try to bring good health back to the plant, either through good nutrition and also through good irrigation. Set yourself up, start your irrigation, your fiscal growing season for almonds now, and be wise and efficient with your inputs so that next year can be your biggest year ever.
That's right.
So Spencer, thank you for joining. Peter, as always, thank you for joining. If you like the podcast, make sure you rate. Go on and rate it.
Five stars.
You know what? If it has 10 stars, we're hoping for 10. If it has 5, we're hoping for 5. If it has 10, please maybe consider 6 instead of 5.
Subscribe, follow.
Yeah, you want to. However you listen to your podcasts, make sure you subscribe so that the new ones, you get notified of when they come out. Because, you know, we're just here to share some information. We want to help grow your knowledge and help everybody be more efficient and good stewards and farm sustainably. Thanks for your time.
You've been listening to the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. For more information about our company, please visit us at www.yara.com or yara.us. Or for Canada, yaracanada.ca.